Satan cannot try you. He cannot test you one iota beyond the will and purpose and plan of God. He cannot.
Before modern industrial machines, furniture was crafted through simple but effective techniques. For example, the wood for chairs was cut green, then bent into place and held there by ropes or clamps. The craftsman carefully molded and shaped the wood in order to achieve the desired design for that chair. You know, God uses adversity in a similar fashion, as you'll learn from Charles Stanley today on the midweek edition of In Touch. God uses difficulty to craft us into the image of Jesus Christ. The question is, are you cooperating with a master craftsman or resisting his efforts? Learn how to get the most benefit from our trials as Dr. Stanley continues pointing us back to basics.
When you face some trial in your life, what is your first response? Well, probably if you're like most of us, you just like to run as far as you can, as quickly as you can, and escape it. But that's a natural, normal feeling. It just doesn't happen to be God's way of dealing with trials and heartaches in our life. And what I've observed over a period of years is this, that what seems to destroy some people, that is, some forms of trials, seem to develop others. And so I've had to come to this conclusion. It isn't the trials that develop us or destroy us. It is the way you and I respond to those trials that either make us better or they seemingly ruin and destroy us. And so that's what I'm going to talk about in this message, our trials. Now, the whole idea of trials, and I just want to say several things here that I think if you will just let these sink into your mind and heart, you are going to look at difficulty and hardship in a different fashion. And the first simple thing I want to say is this, and that is, trials are to be expected in the life of the believer. In fact, you can expect them whether you believe or not. Trials are to be expected. Now turn over, if you will, to the fourth chapter of 1 Peter, and notice what he says in this 12th verse of the fourth chapter. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing happened to you." He said, now, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked if you find yourself in trial. You can expect them. And if you'll notice, he says in the first chapter, he said, "Though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." And so Peter is saying that you and I can expect to go through trials and hardships and difficulties in our life, and sometimes they're going to be fiery ordeals, very painful and very difficult to face. He says they're fiery, tested by fire, and so therefore we shouldn't be surprised, we shouldn't be upset. That is, that's just the natural, normal part of life. Now, what are the purposes? That is, when we look and examine these, what are God's purposes when we say, well, can God be in this? In other words, how can God be in something that I hurt when it's so painful and so difficult? How can God be in these things? So, let's ask ourselves, what are his purposes? First of all, his first purpose is cleansing and purification. Cleansing and purification. That is always one of God's ultimate purposes in allowing trials in our life. So let's ask this question. For example, when these things come into our life, what is our response? That is, what is your response when trials come into your life? Well, you can do one of two things. Listen, trials will either drive us, they'll either drive us toward God or they'll drive us away from God. Now, if his purpose is cleansing and purification, how does that work? Well, here's how it works. When you and I face some trial, we are driven to God. And so what happens is when we are driven to him and we begin to see things from his perspective, we begin to see ourselves in a whole different light. And what happens is we end up finding ourselves confessing and repenting of things, attitudes, conduct, or whatever it may be, that we never even knew were there, had not felt it, had not seen it, had not been able to listen if somebody tried to tell us. And oftentimes, the only thing that gets that kind of junky stuff to the surface, trials, fire, and that is the difficult times we go through because they drive us to God and driven to God. I'm driven to look at him, driven to look at him. I begin to see myself, and these things begin to surface. And so when we say one of his purposes is purification, the second reason is for testing. That is, God tests us. When God tests our faith with some trial, what does he do? Here's what he does. He pushes us to the limit. And that is, we think, well, God, that's all I can handle. I can't take anymore. God knows exactly what the limit is. Now, usually, what we think about trials is we say, here's my limit. This is as far as I can go. And God says, no. We say, but Lord, I can't handle anymore. Oh, yes, you can. But God, this is all I can handle. Oh, no, that's not all you can handle. Lord, and sometimes even in the midst of a trial, we think, God, I can't handle anymore. And just when we think we're going to fall off the cliff, what does he do? He changes the circumstance. And so one of his purposes is to test our faith. Now, none of us like trials. God knows that. But if he's going to build our faith, he's got to stretch it. And the only way God can stretch our faith is to test it. Listen, God, listen, he loves to see us come through with approved faith. Who does that honor? That doesn't honor us. That honors God. Here's what it says. It says, God, I believe you. I believe you exactly who you say you are. I believe you, this faithful, sustaining God, that no matter what I face, you are going to see me through. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. Yes, I believe in you, God. He's going to test your faith. And so when you think, oh, I just want to give up and quit and doubt. Well, what you're doing is, if you give up and quit, all you're going to do is lose the blessing. Remember that one of his purposes is to cleanse us. One of his purposes is to test us. What does it test? It tests our faith. It also tests our endurance. Look, if you will, in James chapter 1. Back over James chapter 1, one book. He says in the fourth verse. Oh, let's start with the third verse of chapter 1. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres, endures under hardship and trial. So he wants to teach us endurance. And the more trials we go through, and we go through them successfully, the stronger we become. The more difficult and hardship we face, and we face it successfully, the more we can face. Why? He's building saints. He's conforming us to the likeness of his Son. That's what he's up to. And so we're going to be tested. Our faith's going to be tested. Our endurance is going to be tested. And our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be tested. It's going to be tested. You say, now, I love God. Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, how do you find out how much you love God? By the test. Here comes some trial in our life. And here's what God says. He says, here's what I want you to do. Say, oh, Lord, now I love you. But God, I mean, you're asking me too much. I can't handle this. I can't do that. And so we walk away. We either backslide, we lay aside our testimony and our witness for God. We just fold up and say, you know what, Lord, you can put me on the shelf, anything you want to, but I'm not going to do that. He says, this is the way he knows, this is the way he determines whether you and I love him or not. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. Here's the way I look at trials. Trials x-ray my life. Trials reveal how strong my faith is. Trials reveal how much I'm able to endure. Trials reveal my love and devotion to Christ. Am I willing to be devoted to him? Am I willing to obey him? Am I willing to trust him? Am I willing to hang in there when I can't figure out anything and nothing makes any sense? I'm just going to believe and trust him. So our faith's going to be tested. Our endurance, our capacity to endure is going to be tested. And our devotion to him is going to be tested. So we said, he tests our faith? Yes. Our endurance? Yes. Our love and devotion to him? Yes. Why does he do this? Well, we said, first of all, because he's going to send tests in our life, and he's going to test our faith. He's going to test our devotion. He's going to test our ability to just be steadfast. When everything around us says, quit, 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 quit. Steadfast means we don't give up. But there's a third purpose, I believe, that God has in mind in all these trials, not just to test us. But I think one of the primary reasons that he allows these things in our life is because he wants to demonstrate his power to sustain us. What's God doing? When God sustains you and me and lifts us up, and when he blesses us through our trials and our heartaches, what is he doing? He's glorifying himself. When you see someone else going through some trial or heartache, and God is sustaining that person, and there's a joy in their heart, a smile upon their face, and somehow you think, how in the world do they keep going through this, whatever it may be and whoever it may be? What happens? God is being glorified. And so somebody says, well, if God will do it for her, If God will do it for him, maybe he'll do it for me. God demonstrates his awesome power to sustain his children, to encourage his children, to build them up, to build character into their life, to make them fitted for greater service. And I do believe that his purposes, whether it's cleansing, testing, or demonstrating his awesome power to sustain us, whatever those three reasons may be, ultimately God has this in mind. He's going to strengthen your testimony. He is equipping you. Listen, in the purifying, testing, sustaining process, he is equipping us to be better servants of his. He is equipping us oftentimes for greater service. When somebody says, I want to serve the Lord and I want to serve him any way I possibly can, then what you have to ask is, are you willing to be thrown in the fire? Are you willing to go through the trials? Are you willing to go through the test? And so you say, oh, yes, I am. Well, then when they come, don't act like a sissy. Don't have a pity party and call all your friends and say, oh, I'm telling you, I'm just hurting so bad. Now, that doesn't mean you're not to have friends, and it doesn't mean that you're not to share with your friends when you have those bad moments. Everybody who's going through trials are going to have their dips, that's what I call them, or gray zone days, those days when nothing seems to work out, nothing seems to make any sense, and you think, God, what in the world is going on? Everybody's going to have those kind, but you can't live in that. You may wake up in the morning and you think, one of those days. But you also can say, God, I know that you love me just as much today as you did yesterday. You are just as much in control today as you were yesterday. My trust is in you. I don't feel anything. I don't see anything. Nothing makes sense. But God, you are God. You never change, and I'm trusting you. And sometimes you may have to talk yourself into it. But listen, don't give into it. Endurance says, I'm going to hang in there no matter what. And once I begin to understand what God is up to and understand that his purpose here is cleansing and purification and testing to strengthen, deepen, equip for better service and to demonstrate his awesome power, then all of a sudden my whole attitude about these things changed. Now, these trials can profit us if we respond in the right fashion. Now, what is the right fashion? You say, well, you already mentioned that. Well, to some degree I have. But first of all, I have to respond with trust. I'm going to trust you, God, no matter what. Now, what is it that builds that kind of response when trials come? Not only past experiences, but the Word of God. Now, here's the reason people just wimp out when trials come. First of all, they don't know the Word of God. If you don't know the Word of God, then you don't know God. And so what happens is you start putting all these things on God that he doesn't feel and he doesn't believe and he doesn't act that way at all. Because if we don't know him, listen carefully, if we don't know him, more than likely what we're going to do is we're going to project on God responses that we would respond in that fashion, when that's not the will of God or the ways of God at all. And so the proper response, you see, I can be blessed or I can be blighted in some trial. If I'm going to be blessed, I have to respond the right way. What's the right way? First of all, I've got to trust him. He says, there has no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. We all have them. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested and tried and tempted more than you can bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He says, listen, there is a limitation on every trial. Satan, listen to this, Satan cannot try you. He cannot test you one iota beyond the will and purpose and plan of God. He cannot. Now for the unbeliever, I mean, he's got free reign. But for the believer, no, he doesn't. There is a limitation. No temptation is taken you but such as is common to man. But God who is faithful, He will enable you. He will make a way of escape. And so when my faith is tested, this I know, that my God never changes. This God is faithful. This God has a limitation on what I'm to be tried with. And not only that, I remember this. Romans 8:28. Now I want you to turn to this verse as much as you know it. I want you to turn to it. And then I'm going to read it the way most people read it. They don't think they read it this way, but this is the way they read it. And we think that maybe God could possibly cause some things to work together for my good. Or we know that it's possible for God to cause all things to work together for our good. Sometimes God causes all things to work together for our good. Sometimes things don't work together for my good. In fact, I'm not even sure they ever work together for my good. Now, when do you read the scriptures like that? When you're down under it, I mean, you're down under it, and you're having a pity party, and you call your friends, and they can't make any sense. You think, oh, God, I don't see any way out. And Lord, why don't you do something? God, where are you? That's when you're reading King. That's when you're reading New American Standard or King James. I think all things. No, you say also, God, all things are supposed to work for my good, but they are not. Now, why do you think the Apostle Paul could say, and we know, not think, not hope, we know that all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You know why? I'll tell you why Paul could say it. He could look back with stonings and beatings and shipwrecks and you name it, and God sustained him. He said, I know He is. How do you and I know it? The Word of God says it. And second, all of us have enough experiences to know that He's worked a lot of bad things in our life for our good. You see, my response must be the response of trust. Now, one of my favorite verses, and you've heard me say it oftentimes, Isaiah 41, he says, do not anxious to look about you. That's devastating. Do not anxious to look about you. I am your God. I am with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will help you. I will keep you. Now, when these tests come, these trials come into our life, trust Him. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing. He knows if I need to be purified and cleansed. He knows if my faith needs to be tested and strengthened in my endurance and my capacity. He knows all about those things. Trust Him, number one. Second thing I want you to notice, back to 1 Peter. Not only am I to trust Him, but I am to persevere. I am to hang in there. Go back to James chapter 1 again. James chapter 1 says in verse 12, blessed, happy is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. We're to persevere. First of all, I'm to trust Him. That's always the right response, trusting God, believing in Romans 8:28. Secondly, I am to hang in there. I am to be sustained by God. I am not to give up. I am not to quit. I am not to act like a sissy, not to have a bunch of pity parties, and when I do, get out of them quickly as possible. Well, we can understand that. But this third one, some of you have a real problem with. We all have a problem with this. So I want to interpret what it means. So first of all, we're to respond by faith, by trusting Him. Secondly, by enduring it. And thirdly, we're to respond. James chapter 1, you're not going to like this. James chapter 1, look at this. You say, well, I knew you was coming to that sooner or later. Absolutely. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, when you and I come into various trials, count it all what? Now, how many of you counted joy when you fall into trials? It does not mean that when I'm thrown in the fire, when I'm facing a trial, I'm to say, whoopee, thank you, God, hallelujah. No. Because there's not anything in the Bible that says I'm to look at my trial and have joy over the trial. Now, listen carefully. I will only count it all joy when I look at the trial beyond the trial, and remember that my God, who is absolutely sovereign, is in control. My God, who is absolutely in sovereign control, by allowing that to come into my life, has something good for me. All things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. My joy in the trial is that God is about to demonstrate His sustaining power again. God has something good in mind for me. God is going to equip me for greater service. God is in control of this. God is going to sustain me through it. God is going to bring me out better. God is going to prosper me through this. No matter how painful it is right now, I will come out better. Now, when I look at any trial that way, I can rejoice. I can thank Him for it. When He says, in everything give thanks. You can't just look at something as difficult as some people go through and say, well, just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can't. In other words, God doesn't expect you to be a hypocrite about it and say, oh, yes, I'm just praising the Lord and thanking God. If you're not looking at it from the right perspective, no, you're not. I can only rejoice when I look at the trial, through the trial, see God as the ultimate source, and knowing that He may allow someone to harm me, He may allow something to happen to me, ultimately He's in charge, and if He's in charge, which He is, and He has allowed it, I am going to come out better no matter what? You either believe that or you don't believe that God is sovereign. Now, if you don't believe that God's in sovereign control, you got lots of problems. Then you don't have an answer for a lot of things in life. And you never know where you are. Are you a victim of someone else, or is God in control of your life? So all of us are going to have trials in our life. Expect them. They're either going to come from God, ourselves, or Satan. God has a very specific purpose in mind. He wants to cleanse us, test us, demonstrate His awesome power to sustain us. What is the proper response? Trust Him, endure, and to rejoice in it for what He's going to do for us. Father, we love You and praise You and thank You for not depriving us of these trials and hardships in life, but for giving us the wonderful privilege of demonstrating Your awesome power to sustain us. And so I pray today that every single person who hears this message will be wise enough to take it to heart and apply it to their life and make every trial a triumphant experience of the blessing of God. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.